through tonight a marvelous chapter. And again, as we read in 2 Peter, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write this. It's marvelous. This chapter is regarding Jehovah's righteous king. He's going to reign in righteousness, and that's going to be quite a day for this old world. It'll be quite a change for this old world. The division of this chapter, we can divide it this way. Verses 1 through 8 is the king reigns. Verses 9 through 14 is desolations, which will precede the king's reign. And verses 15 to 20 is the true latter reign on Israel. And this has not happened really yet for the nation Israel. So we thank the Lord that it will come. Before we read this chapter, let's go over to Jeremiah 23 and the 5th verse. It's going to be quite a change for this old world when the nations have to submit to this righteous king. We can see, as we're out in the world, the indifference. They don't even recognize the fact that there is a God, many of them, that they think they can work all these things out with their own minds, and that they ignore the fact that there is a Lord up there that has control of it all. But there is, and we thank the Lord there is. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch or a shoot, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's all I want to read of that. That's wonderful. That goes along so well with this chapter. Right. All right, let's read the first 8 verses, and then we'll look at them. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal. You wonder where they get that word liberal? Right here. This vile is the foolish. The foolish person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy or foolishness or folly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. That's quite a change in that verse. All right, a king is going to reign in righteousness. And I'm glad he's sitting up there tonight, aren't you? Let's read Psalms 94. I love to match up scripture, just bring them together. Psalms 94:15. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Isn't that a precious verse? All the upright in heart shall follow it. That is the judgment of the Lord. All right, these princes we read of here in Isaiah 32:1. We have them in the book of Daniel. Let's go over there. Daniel, the 7th chapter, and verses 13 and 14. We know that there are going to be some that are going to rule with Jesus Christ. In Daniel 7:13 and 14. And Daniel had this marvelous vision. We know he had the vision of the image of the different kingdoms that were going to come and are still going to come, because we are close to the foot portion of that image. In fact, I believe we're living in it. Daniel 7:13, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And keep in mind, the clouds always in Scripture refer to the saints. But we could say the saints of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. This is Christ, who is viewed as God here. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Man will not be able to destroy this kingdom. It's going to be an everlasting kingdom. Daniel knew it from this vision. Then let's go over to Matthew 24 and the 30th verse. It's marvelous to get into the Word and just let the Word through our hearts. That's one thing I've prayed, that the Lord would continually allow and let the Word just thrill me. I just, every time I get into it, there's just this excitement, this thrill in me that I know these things are so quickly coming to pass. And that's why I love to teach prophecy. It's something that you know is coming and you can see it just being fulfilled just day by day. Matthew 24:30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds again, the clouds of the saints and the saints, the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Let's read the 31st. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now this will be at the end of the 7 years. Well, then let's go to the 25th chapter of Matthew and the 31st verse, 25:31 of Matthew. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels, and this should be sanctified holy persons. The holy angels are sanctified holy persons. The people like us that will be there with him will come with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And this speaks of the dividing of the sheep and the goat nations. And this is when he'll do that. Then let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Paul told these Corinthian saints, he asked them, in fact, he made a statement like they didn't know it. In 1 Corinthians 6 and the 2nd verse, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And then know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We need to judge now, don't we? And this is as we do that, this will bring us to the place that God will say, you're going to be able to be in this position. You'll be with the princes that shall rule in judgment. And then in the second verse of Isaiah 32, we see, I believe there's four things here, that this man, who is Jesus, and I believe it could also speak of others, these princes, but primarily it's speaking of Jesus. Notice first he will be an hiding place from the wind, or this wind speaks of adversity. Now this can pertain to us today too. The Lord is our hiding place. And I'll tell you, there's times when we do want to get into this hiding place, protected, and in that day, this remnant is really going to want this hiding place. Psalms 57 and the first verse. This is concerning, of course, this is when David was fleeing from Saul, but it portrays this time and looks forward to this time when the remnant will do this. 57:1 of the Psalms. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Notice it's not the mind, but it's his soul. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. These calamities means this engulfing ruin, the overpass. And that's what Saul was trying to do with David. And then the second thing that the Lord will be to the people will be a covert from the tempest. covert just means a shelter. And in Isaiah 59:19, these are beautiful scriptures, because this remnant that will be in the end of the 7 years is going to, they're going to need these scriptures. They're going to seek them out. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy or the adversary shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up or put him to flight, a standard against him or a banner against him. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he's the one who fights our battles. But the Spirit of the Lord will lift up this standard, this banner against him and this adversary, and put him to flight. And he surely will, and he does this for us now. Then the third thing that we see in the second verse is that he'll be as rivers of water in a dry place. That's a beautiful, beautiful. Let's read chapter 33:21 of Isaiah. There's several scriptures here in Isaiah we want to turn to. They're all right handy. Isaiah 33:21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. In other words, there'll be no galley with oars, there'll be no more slaves in this day. And that's going to be quite a day. And then in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, in verses 6 and 7, then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Praise the Lord, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground, or the glorious sand, it says in the margin, shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It's going to be a wonderful place. Then the 41st chapter of Isaiah, 41 and 18th verse. And notice who does this. There's several I wills in here. But this 18th verse, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Over there today, they have to irrigate. But then it's going to be a different story. Then the fourth thing that the Lord will be to this remnant is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That beautiful, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. 25, in chapter 25:4, we have a good scripture with this. Because this will be a time of heat, as we read here. 25:4 of Isaiah. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. And this is the heat always speaks of trials and persecution. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And you can review your notes on that and understand it more fully. All right. Now this third verse, because we've got some beautiful verses in this chapter. Wonderful. The truth in them is just precious. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. And then let's read the fourth. And the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Notice the eyes, the ears, the heart, and the tongue. Isn't that marvelous? Isaiah, when God called Isaiah, God warned him that the people would not listen to him. And I want to read this in Isaiah 6. And he told Isaiah just what reaction the people would have when he began to give out the word. And he also told Ezekiel this. And he told Ezekiel, don't be afraid of their faces. And here in Isaiah 6 in verses 9 and 10, this is this beautiful chapter when he sees the king sitting upon the throne and the seraphims. And in the 9th verse, the Lord told Isaiah, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And then said I, Lord, how long? And the Lord told him, until the cities be wasted. So this is what was going to happen when Isaiah began to tell them what the Lord was going to bring upon the city of Jerusalem. He made their ears heavy, that they wouldn't hear. In chapter 29:18 of Isaiah, at the end of the 7 years, dispensationally speaking now, this deafness and all this is going to change. 29:18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Isn't that marvelous? So when the king is going to come and reign in righteousness, these spiritual hindrances will be gone. The Lord is going to open their eyes and open their ears, and their heart will not be rash or hasty. This word rash here means in a hurry, and I think of this today, man is so in a hurry. But rash here also, Strong's has the meaning to be liquid or flow easily, and that is to hurry. That's Strong's definition of the word rash. And it also means hurried or hasty. It shows the recklessness of the time in which the man is living in today. They're living in a rash time, in a hasty time. They don't take time to meditate, to stop and think upon the Lord, upon who really has control. So he says, the rash, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. Understand knowledge. They'll ponder and they'll know. You know, to ponder, you have to stop, don't you, and think upon things. When you read the word, you begin to ponder upon it. It's a wonderful thing to do. The word rash means also rush to conclusions. This is what we do sometimes, isn't it? Rush to conclusions, justified by their ignorance, prejudice, and conceit. Man, don't we see man in that today? Hurry up, make a decision. We've got to know. This is man today. I don't have time. Let's hurry now. We've got to get this done. When I was a little girl, the folks began to talk about moving to another place. I said, well, let's go, you know. But they needed to pray about it and get the mind of the Lord. And that's the way it should be. And then let's go over to 2 Timothy. Paul tells Timothy concerning this. 2 Timothy 2 and the 7th verse. The Lord's had to teach us all a lot of patience, hasn't he? 2 Timothy 2 and the 7th verse. This is regarding the enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the 4th verse says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And that's what we are. And if any man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. This word consider, one meaning is to exercise the mind or examine, means also to think upon, to heed and to ponder. So when we understand his word, begin to learn his word, we understand his purposes, we know what's coming, we know what he's doing today, we understand his purposes, we understand his plans, we understand his will, and as we wait upon him, he opens his will up to us. He leads us. He's our shepherd. He doesn't drive us, but he leads us in his will. Thank the Lord. So we know then. We understand knowledge. And then the tongue of the stammerers. This is precious to me because, as you know, I've had, as a younger person, I had trouble with this. But let's go to Jeremiah 1. I related to this. Jeremiah 1:6. But I want to read the 5th. the fourth and fifth verse, in Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, telling Jeremiah, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah says, Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He felt inadequate, didn't he? And that's good, to feel inadequate. Don't feel self-confident. Then let's go over to Exodus. I always love this one. Here, this is regarding Moses. Here, this man had been educated in the king's palace, but the Lord took him to the backside of the desert for 40 years. And this is the condition, the way the Lord, how he became when the Lord did call him after this. I believe this is when after he saw that burning bush, if I remember right. This is in the previous chapter. And the Lord called him. But in the fourth chapter of Exodus, in the 10th verse, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Quite a come down, wasn't it? Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. He couldn't get out of it, could he? Neither could these other prophets. The Lord laid his hand on them, and they did the will of the Lord, and I love that. All right, the stammerers will speak plainly. This word plainly means uprightly or according to the word of the Lord, under that others will understand. And in the Hebrew, it has the meaning of white, which speaks of righteousness. The linen curtains were always white, so speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Then in his fifth verse, he talks about the fifth and the sixth, talks about these fools. The fool shall no more be called liberal. The fool here, the vile is the fool. He will speak villainly or with folly. This speaks of the ungodly. And along with this, let's read Psalms 14:1. And I think it's quoted, but this 14th Psalm is pretty well full of scriptures regarding the fool. There's a lot of them today, sad to say. Psalms 14, the first verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Notice he sought us. We didn't seek him, but he sought us out. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And in the Hebrew, this word fool is also Nabal. Do you, any of you remember this? Let's go to 1 Samuel. I'm not going to read this all, but this is a beautiful, beautiful account in 1 Samuel 25. There was a woman by the name of Abigail, and she, her husband's name was Nabal, and his name means a fool. And David, I'll just give you the background of it. David's men went to him to ask for supplies, food, and so forth. And in the 10th verse, Nabal answered in 1 Samuel 25:10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? This is when David was being chased by Saul. Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread, my water, and my flesh that I have killed for my shares and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Well, he didn't do it. And in the end of this, Abigail, she went and she took, there was a young man that came and told Abigail about this. Abigail's name means father of exaltation. Beautiful account here of this godly woman. In the 18th verse, we read of her taking provisions. She made haste, and she took these provisions. In the 23rd verse, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, and upon me let this iniquity be. She knew her husband. The 25th verse, he says, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. She wasn't there, so she didn't know, but she was told. Well, when Abigail came back, in the 36th verse of this chapter, Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He had a stroke. Came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. See how the Lord takes care of things. He fights for his own, doesn't he? He takes care. And then Abigail then became one of the wives of David. All right, this sixth verse now. Oh, the word churl. I wanted to bring that in. The word churl means fraudulent, deceitful, and crafty. And the word bountiful, the churl is said to be bountiful. It means to be rich and noble. We see a lot of people today that are called noblemen, and they're very noble in what they do. Some of them even step over people to get in the position they reach. Many of them are called philanthropists, and they got there by cheat, by deceit. A lot of things that the worldly man does. But then, when this time comes, everything was going to be opened up, and man's facade, his veneer today, and they think, well, you can't see through this, but there's one who can, and that's the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. One of these days, it's all going to come out. I heard a woman say today about some of these people that are in the world today don't have the genes that some of us have. I thought, my, talk about pride. And I thought of this chapter that I was studying here, where there's none righteous. You see how some men or women think they're much more important than others. It's sad, but that's the way man is today. The sixth verse and the seventh verse here in this chapter give us an appalling picture of man whose mind is controlled by evil so that his own life and those he influences are evil. And notice in the sixth verse there are six things here that will be made manifest about a fool. These are important verses because when we know these scriptures, we have discernment. The Lord gives us discernment. The first thing is the vile person will speak villainy, or he will speak folly. And then the second, his heart will work iniquity. As we know, it's wickedness. Then it will practice hypocrisy or pretense. The fourth is to utter error against the Lord. That's one of the worst things. The 12th, false things about the Lord against his word, which many of these seers that they had back in Israel's day did. And the fifth is to make empty the soul of the hungry. This is one of the saddest ones. And it speaks of these false teachers who only tickle the ears and they don't feed the people of God. They make empty the soul of the hungry. They come to get something, but they leave empty. They don't get anything to satisfy the longing and the hunger that's in their heart. And then the fifth, or the sixth here, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. They don't give out the word of God. They don't publish the word of God. We know that the word of God will cleanse us from all iniquity. It does. It cleanses us. And it purifies us in Ephesians 5:26. So there we see six things. Again, six is Satan's number two, isn't it? Then the instruments that he talks about here in the seventh verse of the churl are evil. These are the tools that he uses. These tools are the devices which he uses to carry out his plans to delude people, the unwary and the unlearned. There are many that do this today because many people are not learned in the Word. They haven't studied the Word, and they're led away by these churl people, evil, foolish people. And they destroy the poor. In other words, they rob, notice, they destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. That's sad, isn't it? They rob the babe in Christ and bring that individual to ruin by speaking falsely against the Lord. These people deny the deity of Christ. They deny the Lord. Deny the lordship. They deny the blood of Jesus Christ, and they destroy the little babe that is needy and needs the word of God. Let's go over to Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. This is quite a scripture over here on this. We see these individuals everywhere today. Sometimes people an individual who is hungry will go into a church hoping to be fed, and all they hear is something from man's wisdom. They don't get the word of God. Jeremiah 5, and I want to begin with the 25th verse. He says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. Notice they're among God's people. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They look over them. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And we can say yes. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Remember over in the 30th chapter of Isaiah and the 10th verse, they told the prophets and the seers to not prophesy unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things. They didn't want to hear the word of the Lord. All they wanted to hear was false things, things that weren't in the Word. The Word is the sword, and it divides. It divides the light from the darkness. It divides, as we read into the Word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is the Word of God alone can do that. And as we study the Word and ponder it, it begins to divide these things within us. And I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, in this next verse, the eighth verse, we see a change here in that day, speaking of, but the but brings this out, the liberal or the noble, this will be when the noble man shall stand. Notice the end of that verse. He shall stand. In other words, he will be upright. He shall be approved under the king's righteous government. He'll not just plan what he's going to do, but he'll carry it out in righteousness, because he's a righteous man. He will become righteous. He will walk in righteousness. This Jesus Christ is going to reign in righteousness. And as we read in other scriptures, he's going to reign and rule with a rod. And those nations that exist today are going to have to submit to his righteousness. And we can just see them today. They're going to, as we read in Revelation, they're going to be angry at him. It'll be a wonderful day, but I'm glad we're going to be up there with the Lord at that time. All right, in this ninth verse, now we read about the women, and I think we'll just take two or three verses at a time. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip ye, and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. There's quite a change here. Notice God says in this ninth verse to these women, hear my voice, and give ear unto my speech. Now God is talking here, talking to them, and this is written for us also, so we should listen also. The women were spoken of in the third chapter of this book in the 16th verse as the daughters of Zion. There they were empty-headed, they were vain, and they were very proud of their dress. Here we see they are at ease. Let's go over to Amos, the book of Amos. Read what Amos says about these that are at ease. I'll give you the meaning of ease in just a minute here. Joel and then Amos. Amos, the sixth chapter in the first verse. Amos 6:1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the mountain of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Amos here is speaking to those in Judah who look to Samaria as a stronghold, but it was false security for them. So, though in a place of privilege, Judah was in a place of privilege with the Lord and blessing, but they were indifferent to the Lord, and they were at ease. Notice this, at ease. This word ease means living at ease. It means careless, and it means proud. And this is all in a bad sense. This is from Strong's. Living at ease, careless, and proud. Do you wonder why sometimes the Lord brings trials into your life when you feel like you're just getting along pretty good? I'm just doing fine, and here something comes. Have you ever read that tract by Brother Follett, Emptied from Vessel to Vessel? We're going to read that verse here. Let's go over to there. As in Jeremiah. The Lord has a reason for emptying us. Jeremiah 48. If you haven't read it for a while, I'll read it again. It's a wonderful tract. Jeremiah 48 and the 11th verse. The Lord doesn't want us to get at ease down here, just satisfied with everything. And we can be contented. We know that contentment with godliness is great gain. But to get taken up with things and feel, you know, in a bad sense that, well, we're okay, and not let the word empty us from vessel to vessel. Jeremiah 48:11. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste, this his is the old creation. His taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. It speaks of things of the old creation. They don't change. They don't learn to judge these things. We're not emptied from vessel to vessel. Sometimes we feel like we're just out of place. We just don't belong any place down here. And that's the way we get. We just don't belong. As that Buddy Green says, thinks, I don't belong here anymore. And we don't. The Lord just lets us know this. Praise the Lord. So, and this word careless that he uses here, ye careless daughters. They were careless with the word. And it speaks of men who set all their hope and confidence in worldly things. And they don't fear the Lord. They don't fear his divine displeasure. They don't even think about it. Look how man goes about today. We see it everywhere today. They're going to work everything out, they think, in all the problems this world has. And they think they can work it out. We're going to find out one of these days there's only going to be one who's going to be able to do that. Well, it's going to be quite a time. In this 11th verse, he says, strip ye, tremble ye women that are at ease, be troubled ye careless ones, strip you and make you bare. This strip ye speaks of strip of your fig leaves. Remember who put on the fig leaves? Adam and Eve. They tried to hide from the Lord. Well, the Lord found them, didn't he? So here the Lord tells them to put off your coverings of fig leaves and put on garments of mourning. Remember, God sees it all, doesn't he? And as we noted a while back, fig leaves soon dry up, don't they? They don't cover. And in the 12th verse, he talks about that they shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, and for the fruitful vines. They lament. That is, they do not have the simplest spiritual food for the people of God, and that's the milk of the Word. People in this day are going to want the Word of the Lord. They're going to need the Word of the Lord. Remember, we're going to be with the Lord. We're the church. We're a heavenly people. These people are an earthly people, the nation, the remnant. They're going to be down here at a time of great tribulation. And they're going to need the Word. They're going to need the strength. And all the riches that they have had will have faded away because of the tribulation. And they're going to be destitute. And they'll wish they hadn't been careless regarding the Word of God. We see it over in England today, and Glory was telling us last night that they were on 5 farms in Germany, and this Hoof and Mouth is about 20 miles or so away from these farms where they were on. And when it comes to their farms, they're going to lose everything. See, one day we have it, the next day it's gone. And these things are coming. Man thinks he has everything, but one day it's all gone. We see these there in England that are losing everything they've worked for in the natural. But it's going to disappear, and it's going to here in this country also. We cannot put our security on any earthly thing. It will not last. There's changes in everything. I had a deal of a man that felt he could be secure if he bought up all kinds of real estate. Well, he did. Some of that real estate, they changed the zoning, and the value of that property went way down. See, you can't depend on a thing. They lost lots of money. Can't depend on anything. The 13th and 14th verse, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. This is Jerusalem. Because the palaces shall be forsaken. Now, these are the words of the Lord. The multitude of the city, this is the noisy din of the city. And this is something that we see when we go to any big city. It shall be left. The forts and the towers shall be for dens forever. A joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. This depicts the terrible condition that the land is going to be left in because of the rejection of Jesus Christ by the nation Israel. Going to be in a terrible condition. But this is going to go on until, as we have in the 15th verse, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. This is precious. This tells the limit of this terrible condition that will be at that time. It will be until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Let's go over to Ezekiel. This speaks of the Holy Spirit now. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. This is going to be a marvelous day for this nation Israel, the remnant that's going to be left. And they're going to need it just as much as we needed the Holy Spirit when our hearts, when we were so thirsty and we needed the Holy Spirit, this person. Well, they're going to need him in a way that they never have before. Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. The Lord's going to do it all. They're not going to put one finger to any of this. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. There's going to be a new creation. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. This heart of flesh is easily impressed. It's teachable. It's obedient. That's what he's speaking of. They're going to be an obedient people. This is what he wants us to have now. A heart that will be teachable, that will be willing to learn, and be willing to be obedient to this word. Easily impressed with the word. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That rest of that chapter is marvelous. Let's go over to the 39th chapter. Read the rest of these chapters. We just can't hear you cover these, what we're covering tonight. 39 and verse 29 of Ezekiel. So this will be a marvelous day. 39:29. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. See, that today he is up there, and he's left them for a little moment, as we read in one of the prophets, until these calamities be overpassed. He's hiding himself from them because of their rebellion and their rejection of him. But then he said, neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. What a day that's going to be. Praise the Lord. Then let's go to Zechariah. No wonder all these prophets talked about it. These were Israelitish men, most of these, that wrote these scriptures. God used them. And Peter were told that these who wrote these scriptures earnestly desired to look into the understanding of them, that they would know what the Holy Spirit was talking about. And it wasn't for them. And they couldn't understand it all. Even the marvelous visions that the Lord gave to Daniel and Ezekiel and even Isaiah, they didn't understand all these things because they weren't of this age. But they will understand them. And by now, I'm sure they know more now because they're there. Zechariah 12 and the 9th verse. Let's start with it. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour, oh, that marvelous, upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then it goes and tells about the condition in which they mourn. They mourn apart. All right, now let's go over to the little book of Joel. It's right before Hosea, I believe. Daniel, Hosea, no, it's after Hosea. Joel 2 and the 28th verse. Praise the Lord. And it shall come to pass afterward, this is after the tribulation, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Now let's go to the book of Acts, because Peter quotes this on the day of Pentecost, Joel 2:28 and 29. Peter was so anointed and under the power of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this, because the power, the Holy Spirit had just fallen. And he knew, Peter knew the scriptures. The Holy Spirit took control of him. And in Acts 2, let's begin with the 16th verse. Peter stood up with the 11 and he lifted up his voice in the 14th verse. And he began, and he says in the 16th verse, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This was the former rain that began to fall spiritually. Now, there's a material former and a latter rain, and there's a spiritual former and a latter rain. This is the former rain when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. And we're living in this day today of the former rain. Any of us can be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're not filled. Any individual. It's here. We don't have to tarry for it. He's here. Just go up and ask him or wherever you are, and he'll fill you. Marvelous. All right, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven." Now those verses 17 and 18 speak of this church age and of the kingdom age also. Verses 19 and 20 speak of the tribulation and of the kingdom age. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes." Isn't this something? The moon into blood. And that's what's going to happen. So this was when the former rain fell spiritually. Now when it falls upon Israel, this is what we have tonight in our lesson. This is when the nation Israel is going to the Holy Spirit is going to be poured upon them, and this will be, of course, the latter rain. And we know that our inheritance, Israel's inheritance, is an earthly inheritance. Those who will be living then. Now, during this church age, there will be some out of Israel who are saved and filled with the Spirit and will be in the bridal company. And they're part of the church. But after this church age ends, then those of Israel who will be saved will be an earthly people. They will not be a heavenly people. The church age will have ended when Jesus comes and sits upon that throne at the beginning of the 7 years. Jewish times will begin again, because a Jew will be sitting on the throne. Gentile times have been from 606 B.C. until Jesus comes and sits on the throne. So it'll be a marvelous time when he takes over the reins of government. All right, let's read on here in the 15th verse. "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high," back in Isaiah 32, "and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness." That was yours. And we'll wait for you. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Don't you just love that? That is a marvelous verse. Praise the Lord. The work of righteousness. This work was accomplished at Calvary. And the fruit of the work here speaks of the fruit of righteousness. Let's go over to James, the 3rd chapter, and the 18th verse. This comes to us, the fruit of righteousness. We're going to read the 17th verse with it. James 3, 17 and 18. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and praise the Lord it is, because it's from God. It's Christ himself. Then it's peaceable, it's gentle, and easy to be entreated or obeyed, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That beautiful scripture. Praise the Lord. This was accomplished at Calvary. Now the work goes on in our lives. It's there for us. And the effect of righteousness is what results from it is fruit. The fruit that it comes from it. And this fruit is quietness and assurance forever. wonderful. Righteousness was seen in its perfection when Jesus Christ hung on Calvary and suffered voluntarily for all of us. Righteousness and peace met together there at the cross. And praise the Lord. Wonderful. Let's go to Psalm 72. Such wonderful scriptures. Psalm 72. This world doesn't know anything about this righteousness that God is going to reign, display when he reigns. Psalm 72, the first verse. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge the people with righteousness, and thy poor or thy afflicted with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little, it speaks of the nations. The mountains usually speak of nations, the big and the little nations, the hills or the little ones. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor or do justice to the afflicted, and he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. And we could go on, read that psalm. It is a wonderful psalm. So this 17th verse has been so precious to me this past few days when I began studying this. Because when we allow the Lord to work righteousness, the result of it is peace. It's peace within us, and it's peace with what he does. Well, the effect, the result of the work of righteousness is peace. That's wonderful. And then in the 18th verse, he says, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Isn't that wonderful? It'll be quite a time. But before this happens, this 19th verse, before this wonderful condition comes, God's judgment has to come on the oppressor. When he says, when it shall hail coming down on the forest. The forest here speaks of the ungodly host that will come against the Lord. It'd be the Antichrist and all of his confederacy. And the city shall be low in a low place, or brought low. This speaks of organized religion that is in hostility against Jesus Christ. And if you want to read Revelation chapter 17 and 18, it tells of this Babylonian system that is against Jesus Christ. They want to be the mother. They are. They call themselves the mother today. All right, the 20th verse. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. That's quite a verse. Blessed are ye that sow. Dispensationally, this refers to the time the Jews are going to evangelize the world. And they're going to do it beside all waters. Notice that. Every opportunity that they have, they're going to evangelize the world. This word sow, as I have written in here from a previous study, it means they're going to become burden bearers. And the word beside means upon all waters. And that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass together. I wanted to get into more of this, the ox and the ass. But remember, this time is going to be when the curse will be partially lifted. We know that it doesn't say they're going to be yoked together. They're going to graze together because of the bountiful produce that's going to come. They're not going to be limited to where they graze. Maybe some of you have some thoughts on the ox and the ass. We know the ox speaks of the faithful servant, Jesus Christ, who sows. The ass, as we all know, speaks of the old creation. But the old creation is going to be submissive to the new man, and they're going to be sent forth together. Now, that's going to be quite a day, isn't it? All right, let's close with Psalms 126. We sow today. Well, I wanted to bring to, first let's go to Galatians before we go there. This is a scripture that I think, in fact, the Lord brings it to me so often. Galatians 6. We sow today. We can either sow to the Spirit or we can sow to the flesh. And I love these scriptures in Galatians 6, and let's read the 7th verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, he's not a fool. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, let's go to Psalms 126 and read this one. We're all sowing. Now, I'm going to read this whole psalm. It just has six verses. This is one of those songs of degrees or ascents that Israel is going to sing when they go up to Jerusalem, when they become a new creation, turn to the Lord. Psalms 126 in the first verse. When the Lord turned again or restored the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And I can imagine they will be in the future. Because of what they're going through over there now, I think most of us are following the events over there in Jerusalem of that little 10-month-old Israeli baby was killed in his father's arms, and then they retaliated, and it's going on back and forth. So it will be like they're in a dream when this comes about. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. You know, this land is theirs. That's the wonderful thing about this. God gave them that land, and they're not claiming something that isn't theirs. But they're there in unbelief. They think they can solve all of this by their own ingenuity. They can do this, but they can't. So they're going to have to go through this tribulation first, and then they're going to be like they will be in this psalm. Then he says in the 5th verse, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Wonderful. And I think of Paul when I read this. We know that he wept for the saints. Many like the Galatian saints that didn't believe the truth, he wept. But look at the reward he has today. We know. He says, I know I shall receive a crown of righteousness. And he knew it. Then the 6th verse, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, in the 6th verse, I want to read it again and read it from the margin. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing a trail of seed, or bearing forth the seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Where will we go in this world today? We leave a trail of seed. As we allow the Lord to open up hearts and we step in and give him the word, we leave a trail of seed. I think of those who went before us. Think of Paul, of course, who went before. Wherever he went, he left his trail of seed. And then we think of the ministers that were before us that went everywhere. In the 20s and the 30s, they didn't stay in one place especially, but they moved from place to place, leaving a trail of seed wherever they went. Individuals, but they're going to doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Praise the Lord. Well, Israel's going to have quite a change, aren't they, when the Lord begins to move. Does anyone have any comments on this tonight? They're beautiful scriptures, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Any questions? Well, nations mainly, wherever they go, every opportunity they get, or up on all waters, as we mentioned, every opportunity they get, they're going to sow the seed. Whole nations are going to turn to the Lord. Those that are left will be willing to then, won't they? After they go through the tribulation, the whole world is going to go through this tribulation. It won't just be Israel, it's the whole world. But it's coming. So I'm glad we know. I think of that scripture, too much is given, much is required. We've been given a lot, haven't we? Praise the Lord. All right, let's sing a song. came through. We're glad that lady is near at hand. Well, let's say 185, one of these days.